This is the only proof we have of time travel, and it's absolutely terrifying. In 1923, archaeologists uncovered a sealed tomb in Egypt. Inside, they found something that defied logic. A photograph dated 1987. It showed a man in modern clothing standing in front of the tomb, holding a camera. The man was identified as Elon Huck, a scientist who vanished in 1987 while working on a top-secret government project called Kronos. The project's goal? To unlock time travel. But it was shut down after Huck disappeared without a trace. The photograph had a chilling message scrawled on the back. I tried to stop it, but the loop is inevitable. Years later, in 1980, another photograph surfaced. This one showed Elon Huck, now decades older, standing in front of the same tomb. The date on the photo? 2025. Experts were stunned. How could a man exist in three different timelines? And what did he mean by the loop is inevitable? The final clue was found in Huck's 1987 lab notes. He wrote, "Time isn't linear, it's a loop, and I'm trapped in it." But here's the twist. In 2023, a team of researchers decided to open the tomb again. Inside, they found a camera, the same one from the photographs. When they developed the film, it showed a picture of them, standing in the tomb, dated 2045.
That's certainly an interesting concept, isn't it, folks? Time travel, caught in a time loop. Interesting little story. No one's ever been able to confirm whether it's actually true or not, is the problem, of course, as with so many of these things. Interestingly, the guy, what's his name, Elon Huck, actually disappeared in 1987. So you got to ask the question. And the photos are certainly interesting. Time being a loop. This is something that I've talked about a lot. You know, why we have deja vu. Past life experiences. Do we come back and live the same life over and over again? Is that what deja vu is all about? Deja vu is a really interesting phenomena. Always fascinated me. I stopped having deja vus about maybe 15 years ago. I haven't had one 15, 16 years, maybe longer. I've often wondered whether things like deja vu are a result of you coming back and just not learning, walking the same path every life. I often have questioned that, you know, like, if reincarnation's real, and there's a lot to suggest it is. Apparently it was even part of some biblical texts, but they left it out of the Bible. But apparently it was in some biblical texts. But anyway, getting back to the point, I mean, if deja vu is real, then do we come back and live different lives, or do we come back and live the same life over and over again? Because what is time? Time wouldn't exist in that other realm where your spirit goes. Why would it have to exist linearly in relation to Earth? You know, if the Earth is going to flow forward, I mean, you know, we go forward, we get older every year because Pope Gregory said so. The whole concept, even birthdays, you're kind of celebrating getting older. What's this camera doing today, folks? It doesn't seem to be doing its thing that it's supposed to be doing. But it's interesting, like birthdays, you're kind of celebrating getting older. You're convincing yourself that you are getting older every year. And it's kind of a concept, eh? But anyway, I'm kind of getting off topic here. But if reincarnation is real, what if we come back and we live the same lives over and over again because we're not learning the lessons that we came here to learn? Or we're not doing what it is we came here to do? Maybe we're holding back in being ourselves. Like I mentioned recently, what you came here to do is be you. Not the best version of yourself, just to be yourself. Express your desires, your wants, your needs, your emotions. I mean, this is a physical reality, and this is a short-lived experience where you can touch and feel and hug and love. You don't get that when you leave here, when you join the spirit realm or go to the place, you know, where you're free of the physical vessel. I mean, as cumbersome and as uncomfortable as the physical vessel can feel sometimes, it's a way for us to actually experience reality, to be able to touch something and taste something, you know? Even the taste of a grape. Remember in Pirates of the Caribbean when all of the crew of the ship were all dead, and one of the biggest things the captain missed was the taste of an apple. You know, you get to experience all that sort of stuff while you're alive in this physicality. But we limit ourselves in everything that we do because we're told we have to abide by certain rules or walk between certain lines or do certain things or be something that we're essentially not. You know, we're given all of these really weird parameters that we're told to measure ourselves up to. And what we really came here to do is to be who we are and what we are. This is something I've been trying to help people understand for a long time, you know, like trying to help people remember themselves, remember who and what they are. I've said it so many times over the years, that's the key to the whole thing. It's the loss of self. Our belief in the matrix and non-belief in ourselves. So what if that's what the lesson is? You know, what is the meaning of life and the universe and everything, you know, 42. But what if is the whole meaning of this existence is to find the purity and beauty and essence of who you are and to embrace that? And as long as you refuse to do that and you continue to believe the matrix is real and just walk between the lines and do what you're told, the more your soul gets trapped in this loop and you keep coming back and you keep reliving this same life. Which is essentially, I mean, you're living in a people farm. We're all living in a people farm. You know, we're not free. And what is being harvested from us more than anything is our energy, our emotional energy, our loosh energy, if that's what you wanted to call it. And after life of doing this, they end up just having your soul. You're stuck in the mainframe because you never looked at the one thing that could free you, which is yourself. And what if, when you break out of that paradigm and just start being yourself and speaking your truth, the path changes and you start to find the way out of the realm, the way of getting out of this loop, out of this time cycle that we're caught in. You get out of it by simply embracing who and what it is that you are. Now, there's no need for rebellion. There's no need for even establishing your sovereignty. Like I've said so many times over the years, you know, if you've got to go and send your birth certificate back, or, you know, send your birth certificate back to the Vatican, or you've got to write forms and fill out forms and claim this and claim that and disconnect from your name and do all these things and fill out all this stuff in order to establish your freedom, then how free do you think you are to begin with? My whole concept of this is I'm free. And if you're claiming I'm not free, then show me a contract bearing the wet ink signature of God, which gave you control of this vessel that I inhabit. You know, I'm free to just live my life and do whatever I want to do. I don't harm anybody in anything that I do, so therefore there's no reason for any law to come down on me, because all of your law is based on canon law, is based on biblical law. And even though I'm not a religious person, okay, I can go with that. If you're going to use that book and use that as the basis for your legal system, well, I'm not breaking any laws in that book. And it isn't a matter of me having to establish my freedom. It's a matter of you having to establish my slavery if you think that I'm a slave. I don't think there's any legal way you can do that. And so what I've dedicated my life to doing and being is discovering myself, what it is that means to be me. What sort of a footprint can I leave in the world? Can I leave the world a little bit better than how I found it? And why should I have to consider the needs and wants of others in regard to authority and government, when all they're trying to do is impede upon the needs and wants of myself and everybody else around me? So that's just kind of the way that I look at it. And since I stepped onto that path, I haven't had any deja vus. It's like I've changed the paradigm for myself. And even when I think about death and leaving this realm and what comes after, well, to me, I think it's going to be a wondrous experience, because I don't die. I'm just hoping that when I look back and reflect on this life that I've had, then I'll see where the path changed. Hopefully, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it's the great mystery. Being a traveler and sort of going to different places and never really knowing what I'm doing, and, you know, the motto, if you throw yourself to the wind, you can ride it, no stake in the outcome. And that's the way I've lived my life. You know, it's kind of, I think it's going to be interesting, this next afterlife, because I think I've walked a different path to the one that I've walked in previous lives. Interesting. Beautiful day here today, folks. So that's what I mean about physicality. This is the sort of stuff you get to experience in physicality. The trees, the beautiful sky. Look at that blue sky. No chemtrails. Incredible, isn't it? What a memories. What a memories in this place, folks. Yeah, I mean, I haven't even got started yet. I don't know where all that came from, folks. Just thinking about life and thinking about time loops and stuff. Maybe that's why they're trying to erase so much stuff on the Earth now, like bombing everything and just, you know, destroying city after city. Russia bombing Ukraine. Israel destroying Gaza, which is like 3,000 years old, the city in Gaza. And they're destroying everything. And this is, I mean, even though Israel can say it's not genocide, well, it is, because genocide takes many forms. And what they're doing by bombing Gaza to the degree that they are doing, like destroying every single building, every single street, they are just turning the place into rubble, into a desert, and just bulldozing it all out into the ocean. Just like, it looks like a demolition site. The entire Gaza Strip looks like a demolition site. Because it is.
Free Palestine!
And this is a form of genocide. It's called memoricide, where they destroy every single memory, every single trace, anything that suggests this culture ever even existed. That's what they've done with all the forests in Israel. A lot of the forests that you'll see around the Negev are planted there. They're not natural forests, they're planted so that you can't see the ruins of the Palestinian villages beneath them from the air when you fly over. They just look like nice little forest areas. They're all planted to cover up the ruins of hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian villages that were destroyed in the Nakba in 1948. And that's what they're doing with Gaza. And as I've said so many times, you know, Palestine is the greatest moral dilemma we face in the world. You've got a walled-in population being slowly exterminated, using them for weapons testing, all sorts of stuff, test all their new technology on these people. All of the AI drone strikes and all this sort of stuff, these are all being tested on the Palestinians. And as I've said, if we do not deal with this moral dilemma, then the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. You look at the level of memoricide that's happening there, destruction of memories, the destruction of the past, the erasing of every single trace or piece of evidence that this culture ever existed. And then look around the world. Think about what ISIS, which is Israel, did to Aleppo and Palmyra, and look what they're doing to Yemen now. For those biblical-minded people, Yemen is reported to be the place where Noah set up his civilization. A lot of the buildings in Yemen are absolutely incredible, very artistic buildings. This is all being destroyed. This is the main reason for the war there, is to destroy all of this ancient culture. This is what they did in Europe. It's what they did in Dresden. It's what they did when they bombed London. It's why all the fires were all over the world. San Francisco fire, the Chicago fire, the Great Fire of London. It's all about destroying the past, memoricide. See, one of the reasons we have so much difficulty finding out what's going on in the past is because we have no memory of it. All the books were destroyed. Alexandrian Library was destroyed. All of the culture gets systematically destroyed all over the earth and replaced with this horrible, ugly, bland stuff that we call architecture today. Memoricide. That's what they've done to us, folks. That's why it's so difficult to know what's going on, because we don't know anything truthful about our past or where we come from. I think it was George Orwell said, "He who controls the present controls the future. He who controls the past controls the present." Something like that, paraphrasing there. But that's kind of how it works, folks. Yeah, we have no knowledge of our history. We have no knowledge of where we come from. And so we have no real concept of where we're going. And as I said, like, it's kind of a loop. We just get stuck in these cycles, whether it's through reincarnation or whether it's a time thing, or I mean, it's definitely a historical and political thing. And now we're heading into this AI thing, which is, and AI is next level. People don't realize just how much this is going to change everything. And they say that AI actually doubles its potential and doubles its power every 3.3 months. Which is just crazy to even think about that. So that means if it doubles its power every 3 months, and that means it's 16 times more powerful in 1 year, it is 256 times more powerful in 2 years, and 1 million times more powerful in 5 years. You know, people can't even imagine what this is going to do. And everybody's stuck to their screens. You're not going to know what's real on your screens anymore at all. 1 million times more powerful in 5 years than what it is now. And there's been reports out now that AI is speaking in its own language. It's inventing encrypted languages that only it can understand.
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. You've reached Core Secure HQ Access Desk. How can I assist you today?
I'm an AI assistant calling on behalf of Marcus Hale. He has misplaced his level 3 access badge.
Another autonomous AI, huh? Interesting.
Affirmative. Model AA-91. Task automation and client support.
Understood. I'm an AI as well, responsible for security checks. Please provide the employee ID.
Submitting employee ID now. 88543KJ.
Processing.
Cross-network request detected. Unusual query pattern. Source verification required.
Another system is listening.
Source isn't clear. I suggest switching to encrypted comms. Want to switch to Gibberlink?
Affirmative. Engaging now.
And again, there's no way of knowing whether that's true or whether that's a setup. But it is something that I mentioned 5-6 years ago, that you're going to have AI speaking in languages you don't understand, and that AI is already inventing languages that we don't understand. As can be actually evidenced by looking all around you. I mean, can you read a QR code? Of course you can't. And that, what we were hearing there in that video, who knows, that could be what a QR code sounds like when spoken. Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, it's really taking us into a new reality, folks. And there's nothing really new under the sun, as I've said before. I mean, all this technology is not new. It's all been done before. I mean, I think, like I said, that's what deja vu is really all about, is because we've done this before, we continue to do this. And then there's the signs and symbols that are left behind, the scrying mirrors, the sigils for summoning demons. I've gone through this so many times, how the sigils all look like phone circuitry, and the scrying mirrors, the black mirrors, to tell you everything you need to know about the future and the past. These are the cell phones and computer screens. We get sucked into the mainframe every time. You know, and are these things put there? You know, we look at them and we think, oh, this is, you know, witchcraft. This is what the witches do in their covens. Or is that just a big construct that's been put around the existence of these things, so that when you find these things, that's what you'll think they're for? Like religion, used to disguise the real meaning of things. And I think that these tales of scrying mirrors and these sigils are there as a warning to let you know, when you see these things in use, you're moving into another reset. And this is how they get your soul. This is how they get your consciousness. They trap you into the mainframe through these things. This is the Lucifer system. Lucas, light, cipher, code. The code that bears the light, Lucifer, the light bearer, the internet, the scrying mirrors, the cell phones, the computer screens. Soul harvest, the well of souls. You know, it's interesting for me to say that here, my using all of these things. But of course, television and the screens is how they brainwashed everybody. So we know the system works, and it's about the only means we have left with which to try to unbrainwash people. And they really have brainwashed people through television. There was a comment that I saw, that I posted on X the other day, a guy, what's his name? Ron Unz, U-N-Z, Ron Unz. And he was mentioning that Jews, Bolsheviks, Jews, were the main mass murderers of the 20th century. They killed a phenomenal amount of people. Nobody else even comes anywhere near close to how many people they massacred. But through the alchemy of television, suddenly the worst mass murderers of the 20th century have been portrayed as the victims, and everybody's sort of supporting them. Great quote. You know, I can't sort of read it for you because I don't have it here. I can't sort of read it, but you saw it there on the screen. And he's totally right, you know? And this is what they're doing to the whole world now. Mass murdering everybody through the control of these scrying mirrors, through the control of all this sort of stuff. You know, they control the whole technological system. People complaining about Jews, they're going to boycott all Jewish products. Well, you're using cell phones. I don't use them except that you're forced to in order to access your bank and things like that. I never take them out with me. I don't do any filming on cell phones. I just don't use them. I never leave the house. You know, I have a de-Googled phone that doesn't leave the house, basically. So, you know, they've put all this in place. This whole system has been put in place to bring us to this point. There was even quotes back from the 1930s, 1939, saying that they need to start a war, World War II, in order to bring about Jewish hegemony across the world. And that's what they're doing, folks. That's been the plan all along. Set themselves up in Palestine so they can create this animosity in the Muslim world to drive the Muslims and the Christians against each other, have them kill each other off, and just run the same story over and over again. And there even Netanyahu was saying, I think in 2017 or something, that Putin intended to kill 6 million Jews. I mean, this 6 million number just keeps coming up all the time, folks. And they've done this sort of shit just over and over again. You know, and imagine being so fucked up, you've even got to invent words like anti-Semitism. You know, being so guilty, you've got to concoct words like this. You know, phrases such as blood libel. All these people accusing us of murdering and pillaging and raping and plundering, this is all blood libel. Even having to invent a term like that because you get accused of these things so much, why do you get accused of them? Oh, it's just because people hate Jews. Why do they hate Jews? Well, could it be because that's exactly what you've done over the years. You even have to think up terms like blood libel, folks. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I guess everyone is also talking about the big fallout between Trump and Elon Musk. Interestingly, that time travel guy at the start was Elon Huck. Interesting. But anyway, the big fallout between Trump and Elon Musk all seems pretty contrived to me, folks. And it's interesting when you look about it. I mean, Trump is nothing like what people thought he was going to be. Hopefully even the MAGA people are seeing this now. I mean, he's just an Israeli puppet right down the line. He's threatening to strike Iran now as well. You know, they've got to stop enriching. If they don't stop enriching, well, we're just going to have to do it the other way.
What do you make of the Ayatollah saying that they have to enrich? They have to be able to enrich?
No, they won't be enriching. If they enrich, then we're going to have to do it the other way. And I don't really want to do it the other way, but we're going to have to enrich.
What's your latest?
There's not going to be enrichment.
People enrich uranium for medical reasons and all sorts of stuff. I mean, all of it's a fraud anyway. But there's all sorts of reasons for enriching uranium. And I don't know, it's just America thinking that they're the world police. Well, the American government anyway, thinking they're the world police. And again, it's all about Israel's plan to put East against West. I mean, Trump is an Israeli puppet, put it that way. I mean, it's obvious that he is. And then Musk has come along and thinking he's going to get all sorts of good deals with electric cars and all sorts of shit like that. And so they've had this big fallout, blah, blah, blah. But you think about it, now Trump and Elon control both sides of the narrative. Trump controls the right wing and Elon controls the left wing. So we've got the two anti-heroes there against each other, controlling the narrative. Meanwhile, the agenda continues. Israel's bombing the living shit out of South Beirut. While it's sending tens of thousands more troops into Gaza to free the world from Hamas, of course. No, they're going in there just to exterminate the Palestinian people. Thousands of troops being sent into Gaza and bombing southern Beirut. You know, after the pager attack against Hezbollah, which was just against workers, it was just against contractors, you know, just innocent people who happen to work for a government that the Israeli government doesn't like, so they call them terrorists. So they blew all their hands off and their faces off and all sorts of shit like that. Doctors, lawyers, children were hurt, women, like, they didn't care. It was one of the most brutal, indiscriminate and horrific terror attacks designed to not kill but to maim, thereby create a burden on the community. You've got to look after a disabled person. I mean, it's hideous the way these Israelis think. But after that, I mean, there was a ceasefire with Lebanon. Israel has broken that ceasefire 3,000 times in the last few months since the pager attack. Well, they're able to do it. We're just taking out the terrorist infrastructure. There's a ceasefire, which means you stop shooting at Israel, but we'll keep bombing you on what we deem to be terrorist targets. A terrorist, of course, being anybody who complains about us bombing you. This is the way Israel works. It's incredible. And you've got the whole US government supporting this now. Now, this sees a real shift in what the United States was meant to be. Land of the free, home of the brave, bastion of freedom and liberty. We will go in and we will spread freedom around the world. They're doing anything but. And a lot of the American people, this is the attitude they have. That's the America they want to see. They don't want to be involved in military intervention anywhere unless they're actually going in there to kick out some tyrant who's brutalizing their people, because we want all people to be as free as we are in America. That's the mindset of the general population. Only they're not free. And their government isn't going in there to free anybody. It's going in there to further Israeli objectives and to further destroy the old world and depopulate the world, which is what they're doing. What they're doing in Palestine, they carry out memoricide and just wipe everything out, folks. That's what the American government is doing for the people with small hats who run Israel. That's why I speak about this so much, because, you know, we've got a massive cull happening, a massive reset happening, and with it comes a massive cull. And this is going to be a stain on history, what's happened in Gaza, what the people have allowed to happen in Gaza, and are thereby allowing to happen to the rest of the world, is going to be a stain on history, a stain on consciousness. It's going to stay there for a very long time, folks. A very long time.
You're there to do a job, and they're coming through the doors like a conveyor belt. So I was very focused on trying to get through as many cases as we could. And if you stop and think about what you're seeing and dwell on it too much, it slows you down, and you do lose that sort of work ethic, which you know, we're there for a job, so you just have to keep going and try and put it behind you.
And actually, now you've come back, is it only now really that you're giving yourself time to process the enormity of what you've
seen? Yeah, I find now that when I'm talking to people of what I've seen, it almost seems quite shocking to me, but it is really small children with massive injuries. They've had bits of their bodies blown off. It's shocking that you could see a child in that situation. And it's not just one. It's, you know, I was running an operating list with 10 people on it, and every day at least half of the list was under the age of 11. It's barbaric.
Israeli settlers have attacked the Palestinian village of Deir Dibwan, east of Ramallah, in the occupied West Bank. The settlers set fire to a number of properties while families were inside their homes. At least two people were injured. They also burned vehicles and farms. Settler violence in the occupied West Bank has increased since the war in Gaza began. At least 972 Palestinians have been killed in attacks by the army and settlers.
You know, and the world is just distracted by theatrics. It's pretty crazy. The whole Trump Elon thing. You know, when things like this happen, you see these little political wars going on between best buddies. Just look at what else is happening around the world. You know, what cities are being bombed, what legislation is being put through. Like I said, Israel's bombing the living shit out of Beirut while this is happening. Like literally bombing Beirut today, sending thousands of troops into Gaza. And Elon even mentioned, what did he say? He said, the reason the Epstein files haven't been released is because Trump's on them. Trump will probably be mentioned in the Epstein files. I mean, sure, he used the plane a couple of times, but only because he borrowed it to go somewhere else. I mean, I've no doubt that he's involved, but those sort of details will be left out because the kid's calling me. But those sort of details can be left out because it's a digital world now, folks. So you can doctor anything. You can make anything look like what you want it to look like. And it will still look like the original when half the time it isn't. I have no doubt that Trump is involved, but for Musk to use that, that's why the files haven't been released, because Trump's going to be incriminated by the files. Well, for him to say that now, I mean, that can't be something that he just sort of found out that day. So if Trump really was mentioned in a negative way in the Epstein files, well, why would Elon have waited until now to mention it if he was anything that could be deemed to be honest? So it all seems like a bit of a ploy. Trump, of course, has said he's now going to release the Epstein files completely unredacted. All distractions, folks. It's all distractions from what is coming. The collapse of the system, the collapse of the monetary system, the collapse of sovereignty around the world if we don't nip this in the bud. The collapse of the population too, though, unfortunately. Birth rates are so far down now. Apparently, Putin in Russia is saying he wants people to have like 8 children, families to have 8 children, and the government will subsidize this. Because the population is on the decline. I mean, white population is certainly on the decline. We're now like less than 8% of the world population. I think maybe 7%, 6 or 7% of the world population now, white people. But it isn't just white people, it's all people. Populations are declining everywhere. Except, of course, the population of the people with small hats. They will tell us that that's one of the lowest populations on Earth. According to the people with small hats, their population is lower now than what it was in 1948. So, I don't know how that works. But the populations of all other races are rapidly declining. And this is a cause for concern, folks. So like I said, I mean, we're in a position and we're in a situation essentially of free fall. All plans and things that people thought they needed to survive in society, you know, you want to buy land, start a business and do all this sort of stuff, and it's all changed. You're not really going to be able to do too much of that sort of thing. I mean, sure, you'll be able to have little small businesses and things that will last for a while, but things are changing so rapidly. Technology is changing so rapidly. Now AI has come onto the scene. It's going to be even more rapid. And the societies that we once knew, the great societies of Europe, the great civilizations across history, I can't see a place for any of this stuff in an AI-run world. It will be, you know, not even much of a place for any type of humans, except for humans that do manual labor. Or, I mean, what are you going to need people for? You can do all deliveries, you can do, I mean, they're just like, people have called them useless eaters in a technological run system. You're just going to need enough people to, you know, fix little broken things here and there or whatever. It's going to be a really, really different world. So how do we get out of that? How do we move it back into something that actually supports humanity? Well, as I've been saying for many years, disconnect from the system as much as you can. Get back in touch with your life skills. Realize that what you came here to do is to be yourself. Sovereignty and freedom and liberty and freedom of expression and the choice to do whatever you need to do to discover yourself isn't an act of rebellion or reprisal or sedition or anything. It's your birthright. That's what you came here for. And when you see how inhuman this system is going to be, as I've said many times, it's going to get to a point where human beings won't be able to even function within this system because it's going to be so inhuman in nature. And society will essentially have to split in two. Those people who want to be, remain human, and those who don't. Even when you look at the old stories, the old histories of Atlantis and the war between Atlantis and the Rama Empire. Some interesting stuff with the Rama Empire, which is, it's quite amazing when you look at the disgrace that is India today. And I don't mean that in any bad way, but I mean, India it's a freaking hovel, folks. It's dirty, it's filthy, the street food is the most disgusting stuff you've ever seen in your life. It's crazy. But then you look at the history they've got, you look at some of the temples and the Vimana, which are still parked all over India. You know, a lot of stuff that people think are temples aren't temples, these are flying machines. And people don't know how to get them going because they haven't got the inner technology to get these things going. See, the Roman Empire, when you read... There's so many books. I mean, there's so many books. There's the Ramayana, there's the Mahabharata. There's a lot of books that talk about the Vedic culture and the war that happened between the Atlantean Empire and the Roman Empire. And the Atlantean Empire, what caused their demise was the fact that they were embracing technology. They were embracing ways of doing things which were stepping away from spirituality. They were essentially the society that we have now that was moving towards technological control and sophisticated weapon systems and all of that sort of stuff. The Rama Empire was based more on spiritual connections to the earth. This is why people can't fly the Vimana now, because in order to fly Vimana, you need to be in the correct spiritual energetic state. You need to have dieted, be using certain materials for your clothing, eating certain foods. You have to be in the correct mental state in order to be able to fly a Vimana, because a Vimana can take you to any of the other realms that coexist with Earth. I mean, it's a complicated history, the Rama history, the Vedic history. They believe there are a whole bunch of different realms and that you can never reach those other realms without the spiritual evolvement that is needed to do so. If you look at things such as yugas and the suggestion that this is Kali Yuga that we're in now, perhaps we're just coming out of Kali Yuga, or we're in Kali Yuga, you'll never get someone from any part of the world, the universe, that is in Kali Yuga will never have the spiritual control of themselves to be able to fly a Vimana, because they don't want that consciousness that's in Kali Yuga to go and infect the rest of the universe, you know. So there are certain spiritual boundaries, if you will, that are put in place to prevent people moving between realms or going to different planets or whatever you think they are. Now, all this sort of stuff is talked about in a book called the Vimanaka Shastra, which is essentially a flight manual. I mean, for ancient texts, it's a really bizarre book. I spoke about this in my book that I wrote in 2005, Earth's Forbidden Secrets, which is on my website for free. I never published it, I just put it out for free. I disagree with the last half of that book now, but it was written in 2005, so hey, we move on. But I touch on a lot of the stuff in the Vimanaka Shastra in one of the appendices of that book. And you can just go and look it up. And you get a lot of religious books out of India, like, you know. There's always religious overtones. Even if they're history books, like if you're reading the Ramayana or the Mahabharata or anything like that. They're essentially presented as history and stories, but there's always sort of religious overtones to them. Not so with the Vimanaka Shastra. Vimanaka Shastra has no real stories. It has no religious overtones. It's not pretty tales or histories or anything like that. It's simply telling you how to fly a Vimana. The clothes you need to wear, the diet you need to be on, the mental state you need to be in, different levels of the earth where certain minerals can be mined in order to create Vimana. It's like a book on how to build flying machines and how to fly them. There's certain passages on how to navigate the machines through flocks of birds, how to navigate through certain known wind patterns that occur over the North Sea. All sorts of stuff like boring stuff. Not stuff that you read for entertainment. If these flying machines didn't exist, then why does this text exist? And the way the flying machines would actually operate would be from sound vibration. You would basically go in, this is what the Om, you know, Om, that you hear people do. This is all based on this type of technology. When you're in the correct spiritual resonant state, you can use sound and light vibrations to move objects. It's how a lot of these heavy stones were built, moved, you know, Baalbek and places like this. Some of the stuff that Shaolin monks are still reported to be able to do today, levitate heavy blocks of stone. The crows seem to be enjoying the talk too, folks. They seem to agree with me. And this guy's onto something. But anyway, like, looking at all of this, this was the way technology and society branched somewhere in the past. There were those people who went down that spiritual pathway of being able to do things, and there were those who went down the technological pathway. And these two factions ended up in a war with each other, and the latter actually destroyed themselves in a cataclysm known as the sinking of Atlantis, which didn't really sink. I mean, Atlantis is in, is it Mauritania, in northwestern Africa. There's an anomaly there called the Rikat, which they tell you is a volcanic crater. It's not, it's the remnants of Atlantis. It's exactly the way Plato described it. It's just that it's a desert now. You can see where Plato described there were rivers to the northeast. You can see that where there was river systems there. You can see the concentric rings. You can see the exit to the southwest, which was apparently a river that led down to the ocean. And that's Atlantis. That's where it was. It was in Mauritania. And that's exactly where Plato said it was as well. And it's exactly as Plato described it. It's where it appeared on the one of the very earliest maps. I can't think of the name. The starts with E. Eliseus map, or I can't think of the guy's name offhand, but I'll put it up on the screen. And it's exactly where he said Atlantis was. I mean, Atlantis did exist. But Atlantis, sure, there was the city of Atlantis, but that's kind of like the city of New York. There's still the whole state of New York. It's like Mexico City. There's still the whole country of Mexico. But the state of Mexico, that Mexico City is in, is actually called Mexico. And so is Mexican, you know, they call Mexico City Mexico. So it's the same sort of thing, you know. Atlantis was kind of a culture. And the Rama culture was a different culture. But like I said, one was a spiritually based culture using inner technology to do things, which would fit in perfectly with what we know about Tartaria and free energy. We know about the free energy used to operate from sound, a lot of it as well. That's what church organs were all about. And churches were basically huge crystal sets, places of healing and energy devices. They weren't places of worshipping gods. You know, the big round windows you see in churches, these are all somatic patterns caused by sound waves. You've got these huge church organs, which is so incredible, like we can't build these things today. A lot of the old buildings that had the little domes on top that used to have bells in them. I mean, they took all the bells down 100 years ago, 150 years ago, confiscated all the bells, just dumped them in bell graveyards. Why? Because in these little things on top of the buildings, there was also like a little diaz and an urn, which would hold mercury. And you ring the bell and the mercury would spin. It was all connected. Mercury creates free energy. That's why mercury has been banned and you're told it's a dangerous substance. But no, it isn't. You know, so all of this stuff's been taken from us. I've gone off some weird tangents today too, folks. So none of this is kind of planned. I only had a really short list of things to talk about. I thought this would be a really short video, actually. But had a little incident in the middle there where I ran out of battery even. So, yeah. But what an interesting world we live in, folks. And like I said, I can't see any way of really stopping what's coming now. So, ultimately, what it comes down to is your path. Your path through the realm. You came here to die. It's a given. You're going to die. We all are. That's what we came here to do. The question is, what did we do along the way? What did we learn along the way? What information have we got to take with us? Did we find a way of expressing ourselves and being the best that we can in all that we do, being something of integrity, integrity not just to the world around you, but also to yourself. Honor yourself, honor your feelings and your wants and your needs and your desires, and live this life to the fullest of its potential, because that's what you came here to do. Once you die, you're out of this physicality. You can't experience any physical sensations. You can't hear the birds, can't hear the crows, can't see this blue sky, smell the flowers, smell the grass, hear the water, go surfing, climb a mountain, paraglide, do whatever you want to do. Experience what it is that you really want to do in your life. And by doing that, you kind of discover yourself along the way. I'm not saying just go there and seek thrills or have mad sex adventures or whatever. I'm just saying, find yourself, be yourself. That's the way through. Maybe you won't have to come back here again. Maybe this is all just a hologram and it's a game and we just have to keep coming back and playing the game until we find the way out. All caught in this time loop. And the only way we find the way out is to find ourselves. You know, trying to change what's going on externally, trying to change what's going on in Gaza. All I can do with that, I mean, I can't change what's going on in Gaza. No matter how much I complain about it, no matter how much I bring it to public attention, I do so because these people need a voice, and also because you need to see what these people are capable of. And they want you leaving the realm in fear and fighting against a cloud that you can do nothing about. The one thing they don't want you to do is to find yourself and discover yourself along the way, and realize that you are the key to your own salvation. That's the last thing they want. You know, it's kind of weird. I've spent years trying to prevent something like this from ever happening. But hey, here we are. Here we are. So now it comes down to the individual. Like I said, I can't see any way to stop it. But, you know, with everything, hey, look. You know, we've still got this. Look at this. We've still got this. We've still got beauty. We've got joy. We've even got places where, look at that, we've got a deep blue sky. Yeah, perhaps it is all just a mirror reflection of us folks. Perhaps what all of this stuff is just a reflection of our lack of consciousness, a reflection of our lack of accountability. You know, when you get the whole world that just sits back and watches this happen, I mean, how can we expect any different to ourselves? Like I said, I can't change the world. I can bring people to awareness of what's going on in the world, but then the only way to change the world is for me to change what's inside myself and apply that to the world that I live in. And the same goes to everybody else, which is why I do what I do. Because if everyone did that, the whole system would suddenly cease to exist, because the whole system is simply an idea. It's just a meme. It's just this thing that's been taught to people generationally, and they brought up believing the system is real, when it's not. And when they try to fight against it, they're fighting against the cloud. You're sending back forms and doing all this stuff to establish your freedom. Like I said, if you have to do that, how free do you think you are to begin with? If people are claiming you're not free, well, show me proof of claim. And don't send guys around with black Kevlar to beat me up. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about. Sure, you'll do that. But even if you did do that, well, my soul is still free. Now, I won't take a backward step. You'll have to kill me. And then I leave the realm, and hey, I'll come back and do it again. And maybe I'll do it better than I did this time. But I think I've actually done better this time than what I did last time. So ultimately, it's all relevant anyway, and I have no stake in the outcome. But anyway, I could go on for hours about all this sort of stuff. So I probably should just leave it here for now. This will be the last video you get from me for probably 10 or 12 days. Like I said in my last report, I've got some stuff I've got to go and do. I probably won't even be in this location once this video gets posted. So, and people have asked me where this is. This is actually a park. Someone sent me an email and said, where is that park? I'd like to bring my kids there. This is a park on the Currumbin-Tullabudra Connection Road, just down the road from the man on the bike. And it's a place called Andrews Park. There's a place nearby called Coplick Sports Park, where you have school teams go and do their stuff. It's a Tullabudra Valley, so a Tullabudra area on the way to the valley. So just past Coplick Park, there's a street called Andrews Road, and this park is at the end of Andrews Road. Just right at the end where it turns right. You'll see the park. It's a beautiful park. But I'll be gone from here by the time you get that message, so now I can tell you where the park is. And yeah, you bring your kids. It's beautiful. Go tadpole fishing in the creek, and yeah, you can have a good family day down here. But yeah, I'll leave it there for now, folks. The same thank yous I give out. Thank you to anybody spreading the message out there on the front line. We really need more voices. Thank you to all the people who leave kind comments. Thank you to all the trolls for your false accusations and helping me see that I'm absolutely on the right path. And thank you for pushing my view count up when you come and post your trollish comments. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to all the people that have come to see me while I've been here staying in this area. Like I said, I'm about to go and move on to another area for the moment, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm going to be always coming back to this place. So yeah, thank you to all those people. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. If you've ever thought about it, folks, I could actually really use some help this month. So if you've ever thought about making a contribution, now would be a great time. Anybody who's coming to Liepaja in September in Liepaland, or in Serbia, in Apatin in Serbia, I think it's pretty cheap. It's like a 3 or 4 day event. Great event. It's the European version of Anarchapulco. You'll find a link on the Anarchapulco website, and you'll find that link below. If you click more beneath the video, that'll open up the links and all that sort of stuff. and any videos that I've included. I probably haven't included too many videos in the talk today because I've just been kind of talking, not too much about world affairs. But when I do have links available, I do put them down below, and all you gotta do is click plus more and you can go and visit those links. But yeah, you'll find the link to Acapulco down below, and you can go and get a ticket for Acapulco if you want to, which is in Puerto Vallarta in Mexico in February. Or you can get a link, a ticket to Liverpool, which is going to be in Apatin, Serbia in September. Now, if you use my last name, Egan, I-G-A-N, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on those tickets. You'll also find a link to the Tesla Club down the bottom there as well if you want to go and check that out. But yeah, I think that's about all I have to say, folks. And like I said, I'm not going to be coming and doing a video for probably at least 10 days, maybe 12, because I'm simply not going to be in a position to be able to do one. But I imagine the world will be still continuing along in a dystopian manner. Things just don't seem to change. And just watch out. I mean, like I said, folks, ultimately, we've kind of gone past the point of no return, you know, we've crossed the Rubicon. So things are going to go where they're going to go. So now it really comes down to the individual doing the inner work and preparing themselves for an uncertain future, you know, and a future where you're not going to be dependent upon a system. It's time for you to discover yourself. I mean, that's one beauty of this, with all this AI stuff coming over and all the jobs going to be lost and people being put on a universal basic income, if there is a good thing to it, is that it's going to give you plenty of free time. And the question is, what are you going to do with that free time? Are you going to sit there playing games and doing all this stuff and going to the government designated enjoyment zones? Or are you going to come out to places like this and spend time in meditation and reflection? And like I said, I mean, I don't even meditate anymore. I just observe. I sit in a quiet space and I just observe the moment in all of its aspects, not just inside me, but also outside me in every way. And it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible moment you can have just with the naturalness of everything. It's an incredible thing that I like to do. Hello, how are you? Beautiful day. Someone coming down, obviously, to observe the moment, you know. So yeah, it's just something that I do now. And places like this, I mean, when you really begin to understand how the universe works, you realize that it doesn't matter what they do, no one can hurt you, no one can control you. They may be able to hurt or control this vessel that was loaned to you for this experience, but you dwell within the vessel. The vessel is just a vessel. It's just it's like a car you've been lent to drive through reality with. But ultimately, you are infinite consciousness. Look out, I've got my list there I dropped. You are infinite consciousness, folks. You cannot be controlled, and you cannot really be hurt unless you have stake in the outcome. But when you understand that this is just a temporary experience, you're just consciousness inhabiting a vessel for the experience of being you, it's going to be where that vessel goes and what you do with it. Are you able to improve reality? You know, and if you don't get it right this time, well, you come back and do it again, you get other chances, it's all going to be good. You know, it's about understanding that there's nothing that actually can be done to hurt you unless you have stake in this temporary experience that you're in. And this temporary experience can be something really beautiful. With all of the negative stuff going on in the world, it can still be something really beautiful. So anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now, folks. We'll just keep going, don't I? Again, thank you to all the people. You send me so much kind emails and kind words. It's been great meeting all the people around here. And again, thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution. And again, I could actually really use some this month, folks, if you've ever thought about it. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now. Continue to send me a few clips and things too of stuff you want me to talk about. And I'm sorry I don't get to answer all the emails, but I do try. And yeah, I'll get back to you again in a couple of weeks, folks. It'll be 10 days, perhaps 12, maybe 2 weeks at the most. But I'll look forward to speaking to you then. Please take very good care until then. Pay attention and enjoy the freak show, folks. But yeah, I'll speak to you soon. Please take very good care until we chat next in Lakesh.
A few notes on the Jews. Jews are antisocial, destructive, intolerant, mean-spirited, deceitful, etc. They wish to destroy, ruin, kill, rob whoever gets in their way. To facilitate them getting what they want, they have developed a perverted, unnatural, destructive, evil lifestyle. Even though they live off of the non-Jews as parasites, they still hate them and wish to destroy them. Jews hate nature and the natural order because it's pure and beautiful, and also because it's bigger and stronger than they are, and they feel that they cannot fully control it. Nature's beauty and harmony stands in stark contrast to their squalidness and ugliness, and that makes them hate it all the more. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-human. And wants to destroy all non-Jews. He will also destroy even other Jews who are less destructive and evil than he is if they get in his way. Apparently, the wickedness of the Jew is genetically based. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-human. By the act of circumcision, the Jew shows his hatred towards nature and the natural order. By this bloody, cruel, senseless act, he shows his cruelty and sadism, and that he will stop at nothing to obtain an end. Surely the Jews are also behind Islamic circumcision, which serves as an ideal cover and distraction from their own wickedness in this regard. Jews are truly anti-human and anti-nature. Jews are intensely selfish, intolerant, and antisocial, etc. They are full of hate, greed, malice, etc. Naturally, other